All right, it is that time where I need to get my other notebook and flick through my pages. Okay, so Firefly episode 11, Trash.
Mm-hmm.
Trash is the name of the episode. It's a good episode.
Okay.
It was surprising. It was a surprise to have Saffron return. I was not expecting to see Mrs. Reynolds again.
Yes, indeed.
That was unexpected, but good, because she's a great character. It's interesting to me that like she was brought back in season one, right? Like, it feels like she would have been a character they definitely would have brought back in season two. Do you know what I mean? Like,
people would have
responded well to her, and they would have brought her back. So I like that she comes back again. The episode starts with a flashback, right, which we flash forward to in the end, and it's like it's not as bad as it seems. But it was good. It was fun for me to see Mal having a friend that he was like genuinely excited to talk to.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. That guy, I didn't catch his name.
Yeah, I forget his name as well.
But yeah, then he's like, oh, you're married. Wow, this is such a big surprise. And then he's married to Bridget, who is Saffron, who is Mrs. Reynolds. So we see more of her just kind of going around and getting what she wants by enticing gullible men. Right, like that's indeed kind of the way she does things, and she is as dastardly as anybody else, if not more so, and this is just one of the tools in her tool belt. But it turns out that she has this big scheme, right? She has this big plan, this big ploy to, what is it, to steal a laser gun or something?
Yeah, so it was apparently the very first laser gun. So it's like stealing the original iPhone, if you will. So this is the very first laser gun, of which there were only like two, I think they said, in existence anymore, or something like that. So it's significant for historical reasons, because it's like the original Wright Brothers plane, you know, where there's only one of them. And I forget where it is now, actually. But anyways, it's imagine stealing that, except obviously physically much smaller, because all of powered aviation came from that one plane, while all of their current firearms came from this gun.
There's also a parallel story to this. So, you know, one story is this scheme and the fact that Saffron is back, and can we trust her, can we not? The other is another story between Inara and Mal, where Inara has like a... She calls Mal into her quarters, and she's trying to like initially have a conversation with him about the fact that she isn't getting any clients because of the places they're going to, because they're going to these like far off lands, and that there are some places that they could go to where they could stay under the radar from the Alliance, but they do call them the Feds though too. It's very confusing for me.
I believe that's right.
So they could, you know, they could stay away, but she could still actually find some desirable clients. And then it all goes a bit pear-shaped, and she refers to him as just like a petty thief, right? And mm-hmm. kind of seems to instantly regret doing that, because she knows it would upset him so much. He calls her the W word, which, follow up, we were so wrong about. Basically, in every single episode, Mal uses that word to describe her. It's very frequently, though.
It is more than I thought, which I thought never.
Yeah.
And to be fair, he doesn't actually call her that. He says, and I apologize if you have to bleep this, but he says, I stay out of your thing and you stay out of my thieving. And so that's not that, like, I had said he never called her the five-letter word. He's not calling her the five-letter word. He's just describing her.
No, it's the
choice
it's
of
that.
Business.
No, it's that. It's that, Casey. Don't try.
Give me something. Come
one.
On.
No, because I think
on.
That he. The, we were told many times about the many places where he did actually refer
that's
to
true.
Her as such.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, this whole exchange to kind of tangent a little. This whole exchange was tremendous. You know, she's trying to treat him with dignity and respect, and he's coming in and saying, you know, okay, what's up? And she says, oh, why don't you have a seat? And then he sits down, and she says, would you like some tea? And then immediately stands up, okay, what's your game? And then later on, you're using your feminine wiles on me, which relates very deeply to Saffron, actually. And it's just that whole exchange cracked me up.
And there's one of the things that she says to him about the wobbly-headed doll caper, which is
right,
this you know, like a not seen in the show adventure that they've been on to get this precious cargo, which was just wobbly headed dolls, you know, like bobbleheads. Mm-hmm. But the reason I like this is because when just a few minutes later, Mao is trying to convince everybody to go along with Saffron's plan, he says about, like, this isn't just some, like, wobbly-headed doll caper. This is serious work. This isn't petty thievery.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
He is... You can see that she has gotten to him, right? Like, mm-hmm. Inara has gotten to him, and he is now, like, thinking about these phrases over and over again because he knows that she's right, right? And he also, obviously, doesn't want to be, like... thought of badly in her eyes, right? Because they love each other.
Mm-hmm.
So he's now going along with this plan, maybe because of this. But what we don't know at this point, which comes out later in the episode, is like there was a double cross going on the whole time.
Right.
Right. And that.
Well, there were multiple double crosses, right? Because.
Yeah, so many.
Saffron is inevitably going to double cross Mal, which. Obviously, everyone knew, but, well, I shouldn't say that. It's obvious in retrospect that that's what was going to happen, but you don't really know during the course of the episode.
Yeah, I wasn't convinced. I figured that they might just work together and part ways because it was in everyone's best interest.
Right, exactly. But, and then as it turns out, spoiler alert, at the end of the episode, we figure out that Mal pretty much set all this up with the expectation that she would inevitably double-cross him, and thus he was prepared for it the entire time.
Yeah, having Inara there mm-hmm. with a gun, and what is she, traps Saffron into, like, some garbage container thing?
Well, we'll get to that. It makes perfect sense, but we'll get to that in a minute. I wanted to talk briefly about the exchange between Jane and Simon and River.
Yeah.
I believe this was in their quarters, or maybe it was in the infirmary. I forget where it was.
No, it was in their quarters.
Okay, so Jane says, well, I wouldn't know about that bounty on their heads. And River, just out of nowhere, says she's a liar and no good will come of her, referring to Saffron, to which Jane says, well, girl folk can't be trusted. And then River fires back immediately, well, Jane is a girl's name. And of course, in Jane's style, he's prepared to show her that he's not a woman, like genetically speaking or genitalia speaking. And then Simon just says so nonchalantly, I'm thinking of a way for you to be cruder. It's not coming. But aside from that being a hilarious scene, the key we get from this, though, is that I forget how it's explained, but it's clear that River has, like, read Jane's mind or has somehow, if not, pieced together that he was prepared to sell them out.
Well, I mean, there's a good line, right? River says, she's a liar and no good will come of her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, she means both Saffron and Jane.
Yeah.
In that moment, yeah. It's like, it's really nicely played. Like, River knows what Jane did. This is obvious. She knows, right? And how this is going to manifest itself, we'll find out, because River is changing, right? Like, that's all we know. We don't know to what extent, mm-hmm. but whatever her and Simon are working on together medically is changing her in some way.
Yep.
I think that, you know, the whole plan stuff was good. Everybody, they all work together. They come up with a pretty good plan. I guess the big twist is that Saffron was married to this guy. What was his name? Duran?
Something like that, yeah. Basically, the mark that they're stealing from. She was married to him apparently like 6 years before. Yeah. She was referred to at the time as Yolanda earlier in the episode. She was called Bridget. We know her as Saffron. So later on, Mal calls her Yosafbridge, which I think is hysterical.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I think it was when Duran or whatever his name is eventually comes in or when it becomes contentious between him and Saffron, Mal says something like, Yosafbridge, we have to go, or something like that. I forget how exactly went down, but it was very, very funny. But he is clearly madly in love with her. She apparently just disappeared at one point or another 6 years prior. He says to her, that's the thought of that kept me alive, the thought of you coming back or whatever it was. Ugh, gross.
Yeah, but he was playing her.
Well, yes, as it turns out, he had already called the feds, the Alliance, and was waiting for them to show up. So yeah, it was double crosses all the way down.
And then there's also, like, you know, it seems like Saffron kind of cares about this guy, and then it's kind of unsure, right? Because she has that exchange with Mal, and she seems to be upset, but then says, you know, then she's basically stole his gun, and she's like, oh, none of that meant anything, and he's like, yeah, whatever, right? Like, you know. What does Mal say? I've seen you without your clothes on, and I never thought I'd see you naked.
Oh, such a good line.
But it's only a setup to making him have she calls him like the most gullible fool I've ever marked, and then makes him take his clothes off. Just for fun.
Still a good line, though. Still good.
Yeah, it is a good line. It's a good line. I mean, it's a little cheesy, but it's a good line. Also, as well, Jane has been electrocuted whilst they were trying to undertake their plan, which led to, like, I think the biggest moment in this episode, right? When Simon knows what Jane did. Right, like, so like River is, I think, probably told Simon at this point what's happened, and he paralyzes Jane, and like, there's this, was there really a spinal injury? Like, what is happening here? Because at first it sounds like he's threatening Jane, because he's like, I'm your medic. There might be another time you have to come in here and be on this table, and then he's kind of, but then he's like, but I would never harm you. Because I'm the medic, like,
right.
No matter whatever you've done, and it's like, which one of these is true? Like, because it was like he seemed really menacing, and then not so much, but then he's like, I'm trusting you, and then River just pops in, and she's just like, but I can kill you with my brain.
Also, I can kill you with my brain, and who knows if that's true? Like, it very well could be true.
I think it might be true.
So good, so good. Yeah, this is a fun episode. I wasn't sure if you were going to like having Saffron come back. Like, I thought you would, but I wouldn't have faulted you if you were like, ugh, we're just pulling that card back out again.
No, she was a really good character. Because she's Mal's match, right? Like, in this situation, right? Like, she is a match for him. She is as dastardly. She has as many cunning schemes, right? But just this instance, she double-crossed him and he double-crossed her, but she wasn't expecting he would be smart enough to double-cross her, right? Like, that's kind of just the way it ended up working out, because there was a double-double-cross. I think because she maybe had thought that she had everyone who was at play taken care of. She didn't really consider Inara in this.
Yeah.
I think that was where she ended up missing out, but...
Yep, I thought this was a good episode. I mean, I think all of them are good, but I thought this one was good. The one problem I had with this episode in particular is that the fight scenes seemed extremely cheesy to me. And obviously, like, it's a TV show. They probably didn't spend the time on it that they would, like, a feature-length film or whatever. I don't know. It's just something about the fight scenes felt...
Like which?
Like when they were escaping from Duran's, like, lair or whatever, and they were fighting off the Alliance people. I don't know. Just something about it just seemed kind of cheesy and simple.
No, I prefer that to over-violent.
Oh, sure. I would agree with you there. But I don't know. Like, I can't talk about why I think this. But suffice it to say, this felt particularly cheesy to me. Like, look at The Matrix as a counterexample. The Matrix, and it's not a fair comparison, right? Because that's a feature-length film, kind of the point of the movie to some degree.
Which had, like, one of the largest budgets of all time.
Exactly. Yeah. I completely agree. But, like, The Matrix, especially the first one, is, like, you know, fight scenes perfected. And this was, like, the ham-fisted TV low-budget equivalent thereof. You know, it just, I don't know, something about it just took me a little bit out of the episode, but all in all, I really liked it. And also, real-time follow-up, to go back to the Relay Your Feels from before, I saw Serenity, which is the Firefly movie, not too long after I graduated college, which is still probably not childhood, but I watched Serenity at least a couple times a year as well. And Serenity, again, is the movie based on the TV show, kind of the finale, if you will, of the TV show, which we said we are going to do for this show, right?
That's the end of this.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just want to make sure before I, like, committed us to it or anything. But I'm looking forward
to that. This was a good episode, but, like, I don't really feel like there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know, it was a good one, but I don't think anything really monumental happened. Like, it was just small advancements to things we'd seen before. There wasn't a big new character, because the big character in this episode we'd already seen before, right? So we didn't really need to do any establishment. And there wasn't anything like in the previous episode where there were these huge, like, character-changing things, like massive, massive moments based upon the characters that we already love and care about, right? So, yeah, it was a good episode. It didn't have anything in it that was egregious by my tastes, and but it also didn't have any, like, the thing that I really, really love, which is the big monumental, like, oh, this is what this means type thing. I will say again, like, I wondered if it was going to be one episode where it was like this, but, like, the swearing in I think it's Mandarin, right? It's getting overbearing at this point. Like,
oh, you think so?
It's they're using it way more and more and more, like, and I don't know. I mean, I just don't think that they sound convincing in the way that they're pronouncing the words, and I just don't think that it's needed to be used so much, because my frustration with it is when they're using multiple words, like almost sentences. It's like, this is pointless, right? Like, you may as well have a fake language, right? Because that's what you're using it for. You're using it with the presumption that the people watching the show don't understand it, right? That's why you're using it. Otherwise, you won't be able to say the words, because I'm assuming that they're real words, right? They get around the censorship by...
Yeah, exactly. Right?
So, you know, but I don't understand why you need to do, like, entire sentences or whatever. It just seems like a bit much for me in places.
Yeah, that's fair. I've found a website, I'm sure there's several at this point, but I found a website years ago that actually has translations of everything they say in all these episodes, and I'm sure you can look it up, and most of them are very crude.
Yeah, I'm not going to look for the show notes in case I spoil anything.
Fair enough. Well, we got three left. We've got The Message next, which is episode 12, and then two after that in the movie. So I was just looking at it, and it looks like if all goes according to plan, and assuming we don't have any, like, weird cancellations or guest episodes or anything, the first episode we record in December should be Serenity, and at that point we will be done with Firefly Viewing Club.
We do have an idea, and I have tentatively approved it. For if we're going to continue doing any kind of watch along. So, watch this space, I guess.
Indeed.